Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Andrea Wood, and I'm the practitioner of the day, along with my friend Beverly, and we're available to serve you through prayer after this service, as well as on the website. And we also have a prayer vessel in the back if you want to just give us a written prayer request. So we're just here to pray with you whenever you need it. So I invite you right now to join me in prayer. So I know that there is one presence, just one power, a power of love, a power of peace, underlying all things, all good, all the time. And I know that this one is a part of me and a part of you. In my breath, in my heartbeat, in every cell of my being. And this is true for me, and it is true for all. I am one with God, Spirit, Divine Intelligence. I'm loved, I'm supported, I am made whole through this relationship with the One. It could be no other way. So as we come together today as a community and as a family, we are together on divine purpose to evolve, to grow, to create a world that works for everyone. And I know that we are in a divine tapestry of love and change and evolution. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I live in love, that I live in the light. Now, I release my word into divine intelligence, into the creative medium, knowing it is true. Thank you, sweet spirit. And so it is.
And so it is. Good morning.
Good morning.
That was so awesome, ukulishes. These are also my friends that I got to meet at when we were at CSL Seattle together, and it's just a delight to bring them here so that you all get to be friends with my friends. So my name is Reverend Abigail Shire, and my pronouns are she and her, and my ancestors hail from Germany, Ireland, and Prussia. I have not been to any of those locations, although there is no Prussia anymore. There's many countries that are formerly known as Prussia. So I do say that because we come from different backgrounds. We come from different histories, and yet we're all part of the human family. And so it's good to acknowledge and celebrate our differences, and also good to know that we're all part of the same human family. So I literally came home late Friday night from the chakra retreat. I was gone from early Monday all the way through Friday night. If you were there at the retreat, will you raise your hand? Yay! It was incredibly powerful. It transformed me. And what I recognized that happened is a group of powerful people came together. Actually, we all happened to be women. So it was all women who we came together, and there was a collective intention and something bigger than any of us individually happened. And what I know is that kind of, I'll just say, a womb that births something new that's bigger than the thing itself is a microcosm for the macrocosm of what we can create in community together. And my my weekly theme is building an open and collaborative environment. And all month long, we've been talking about fear and anger. And last week, I talked about how how anger is like electricity. And the question is, how are you going to use it? Are you going to be grounded and let it be an activator for good, or are you going to let it be a damager for harm? And I told a story about Durga, and Durga is a Hindu goddess. She was created kind of similarly of what we created at the chakra retreat. There was a story of a demon, buffalo demon, and the buffalo demon kept destroying and defeating these different gods and goddesses, and nobody could harness this demon until all the gods and goddesses got a clue and decided, what if we put all of our skills and talents together and then used it for the betterment, so that this entity that wants to do harm in the world can't do it anymore. And when they channeled all of their energies together, something new was born. And that was Durga, a brand new goddess. And she had contained within her all of those skills, all the strengths and talents of all of the gods and goddesses. And she was able to defeat the buffalo demon. And so it's kind of like we put that collective energy together with an intention of good, and when that happens, something bigger than us is born. So it's a great story, but this week is how to make it practical. What does that mean? What does it mean? And so I have three words, the heart, the room, and the field. The heart, the room, and the field. The heart? Nope, not the heart. The bridge. The bridge, the room, and the field. The bridge, the room, and the field. The bridge, the room, and the field. Now, the bridge is the heart. So that's, I kind of gave away the secret right away. The bridge is the heart. Why is that? Well, when we were doing the chakra retreat, there's seven colors, and they start from the ground, the root chakra, going through the sacral, and then your intuition chakra, red, orange, yellow. The heart space is the green chakra. It's the bridge. It's the bridge. And then you have your throat chakra, which is blue, your third eye, which is indigo, and then your crown, which is purple. But right in the center is the heart chakra. And the heart is the bridge to everything. So you've got the physical world and the spiritual world. The heart is in the middle. Whenever you do, I've talked about heart math a lot, the fact that there's an energetic that goes into our body and out of our body comes from our heart space. There's energy flowing. It's a place where we can connect with each other. Brené Brown said, have a soft front and a strong back. And that's like opening your heart chakra, but then also having a stable force that you're grounded in. And in order to have an open heart, you need to be connected to the earth. You need to ground yourself, have your roots in the ground. And so the most important thing, number one, is the bridge. The bridge from the upper and the lower, but then the bridge between each other is that heart space. Now, oftentimes what gets in the way of us connecting or being tuned into that heart space is our own words, our own actions, our own ideas that I'm not enough, or I have to be perfect, or I have to have it all together in order to be spiritual or evolved or to make a difference in the world. But there's a story, and I'm going to tell this story because I have people in the room that come, and also online. Hi, everybody online. And people who come from different religious backgrounds. So I'm going to tell the story of Moses. And Moses, his people were enslaved in Egypt. And he got his people out of Egypt. And they walked through the Red Sea, which literally parted for them, and then it crashed down on all of the people who were chasing after them. And then they were out in the desert. And the people were like, okay, Moses, what's next? And he said, I think I need to go up in the mountaintop and connect with my divine source. So he's like, I don't know. So he goes up to the mountaintop, And he's gone for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, the people who were left behind were like, he is taking way too long. We better figure something else out because, you know, what's our plan B? I don't know. And so they had this idea. They're like, why don't we just create something to worship? Let's just create, we need to worship a god. And so they got all of their jewelry, all their gold jewelry, they put it together, they melted it down, and they made a cow, the golden cow. And they decided, at least if we can't get connection from the divine, at least we can get connection from this golden cow. It's made of all the treasures of all the things that we have. And so they danced around it. They worshiped it. They did all the things that they thought they needed to do for this physical golden cow. Now, Moses was hanging out with God, and he had brought these tablets up, and God gave him some great suggestions. People also call them the Ten Commandments, but, I mean, it depends where you come from. So he came down the mountain with these, you know, tablets and like, oh, I had this enlightening experience with the infinite one and it was so great. And then there were his people not waiting for him anymore. They're dancing around the golden cow, you know, and he got really mad. He was super upset. And so he threw down all the tablets and they broke into all different pieces. And then Moses was like, now what, God? And God said, well, go bring me some new tablets. Come back up the mountain. I'll give you some new ones. And so he did. He carved out some tablets and he goes back up to the mountain. And apparently God, you know, carved the tablets itself, just like instantly carved them. And then Moses came down and shared with the people the knowledge that he had made. And the people realized that they were worshiping not God. They were worshiping money or the physical, and they weren't connecting to their divine source. And they decided to melt down the gold and build what they called an ark. And they put these tablets into the ark. It's the Ark of the Covenant, which you might have heard from Indiana Jones. That famous Bible story. And so they put the tablets, the broken ones and the unbroken ones, into this Ark of the Covenant. And then, because they made a covenant with the divine, they made a covenant to use the wholeness of their being and to connect with the God of all instead of making false gods. And that was their covenant with the Infinite One. And they took this Ark of the Covenant to the Holy of Holies, which means they took it to the temple. And in the temple, there was a place where only one priest could go once a year. That's how holy it was. It was so holy. And that's where they took this Ark of the Covenant. And so here's the metaphysics of the story. The metaphysics is Moses went up to the mountain, but the mountain represents our own consciousness, our own connection to the divine. So are we connecting with the infinite? Are we using high-minded thoughts? Are we connecting with the infinite source of our being through meditation and prayer? Or are we looking outside of ourselves for something else to be that? And so that's the metaphysical story here, is reconnecting with ourself. But then also, the other cool part of the story are those broken tablets. The broken tablets and the unbroken tablets were put together in the sacred place of the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies represents our inner sanctuary and the wholeness of who we are. And in the wholeness of who we are, we're both the broken pieces and the unbroken pieces. And so that story is said because we may have broken pieces and unbroken pieces, but that doesn't mean we're not already whole. It's all a part of who we are. And so bringing in the wholeness of who we are to know that that's how we move forward is loving all of those parts of ourselves and not only loving it in ourselves, in our own heart, but loving it in those around us as well. So that's the bridge. Story one, the bridge. Story two, the room. The room. The room is about listening. So we talked about listening in our chakra retreat. We did a little listening practice, and we started the listening practice at the heart chakra, but we also had the listening practice in the throat chakra as well. But I found this cool tool taught by an elder named Marian Rose Ungudmer Bauman, who is an Aboriginal from Australia. She has taught this teaching her entire life. It's called Dadiri. Dadiri. Say it after me, Dadiri. There we go, you're all awake, okay. and Dadiri means a deep, still, inner listening. An inner listening. So room as in making room, making spaciousness. Room, bridge, room, making spaciousness. And this is the secret that she has. Recognizing that when I listen to you, it's not about me fixing you. It's not about me diagnosing you. It's not about my rebuttal. It's about me actually hearing you. So Dadiri is a practice where when somebody says something, your friend, your colleague, your coworker, they say something to you that is uncomfortable. You hear it, and then you count to three before you decide to respond. I know, right? It's like, ooh. Because as much as we want to making a world that works for everyone about us, it requires us to listen to each other. It requires us to be in that uncomfortable spot of hearing a differing point of view and actually hearing it. And so that's what Dadiri is. It's causing a spaciousness in the in-between. So you listen, you count to three, one, two, three, and then you process what your response is. And maybe your response, which is something we did at the retreat, is to repeat back what you heard. Because that's an extra, that's like leveling up right there. Not only can you do the 3-second pause, but if you can take it to the next level of repeating back what they said, it will transform the world if we were to do this practice with each other. So that's your homework. That's your homework, is to be in that place where if you have that conversation with somebody else, that you can practice, that listening practice. So the third thing, bridge, room, field. Bridge, room, field. The third thing is the field. So we can have an open heart. We can be a good listener. But this story is about our consciousness and who we are in the world. There's a story that Carl Jung loved. It was recorded by his colleague Richard William about a Chinese village that was in the midst of catastrophic drought. And I mean, this was catastrophic. Everything was drying. The earth was cracking. Their walls were cracking. The whole village, they didn't know what to do. They tried everything. They tried all the things that they knew and all the things that they didn't know until they heard of a master rainmaker. Now, they had never had a rainmaker in their village before, and so they sent for this legend. And the legend came to the village, and he looked at the people, and he looked all around, and he said, "I need a hut. I need it at the edge of town, and I need you to not bother me." And so the village people were like, okay, all right. So Day one, rainmakers in the hut. Nothing happens. Day two, rainmakers in the hut. Nothing happens. Day three, rainmakers in the hut. Nothing happens. And now the villagers are kind of like, what is up? Did we just like spend all our money on nothing? And like, what is going on? Day four, they're waiting for him in the hut. It starts to snow. And then it starts to rain. And then it pours down, an epic downpour, so the whole ground is quenched, where there's rivers of water running down. And then the rainmaker comes out into the village, and the villagers are like, what did you do? What did you do? And the rainmaker said, I had to come from a place of harmony. I had to come up from a place of being in tune with the Tao, which is their teaching, which is like being in tune with life. He said, when I arrived at the village, everything was out of order. Everything was wonky. And when he was a part of the village, as soon as he came in, he knew he was a part of the village, and he recognized that he was out of order too. And so he asked for the hut so he could get himself back in order. And he sat there and he waited alone until he himself came into balance. And when he came into balance, the rain and the snow came. On its own, not because he commanded it, but because he became the reason it couldn't. He stopped being the reason it couldn't come. He stopped being the place of disorder and disharmony. So what would the world feel like if we all just did that? Where could you sit in your own hut this week instead of trying to fix everybody else's weather? You see, consciousness is the ground of all being, which means, where are we coming from? Where am I coming from? I might be looking out in the world and I might be seeing disharmony, and maybe that's because there's some disharmony in myself. When they say peace is available on this planet, that means it has to be available in me. And if I am feeling discordant, I am not participating in peace. If I am seeing the damage around the world and I am not being the light and the life and the joy, then I'm participating in the opposite. So where can I recenter myself? I must have the bridge, my heart open. I must be the space, the room, be willing to listen, but I also must be the field. So practically that looks like this. If your family member brings up politics at the dinner table and you get anxious and anxiety, that means you need to center yourself first. It might look like you're in a meeting where people are irritated with each other, and instead of trying to jump in and calm the waters, you need to feel a peace within your body. It might look like if you have a teenager in your world slamming the door, and instead of chasing down the teenager and trying to figure out what's going on, is for you to recenter and connect with your own wholeness and your own peace and your own love before any actions after that. So that is the challenge this week. The bridge, your heart, the room, listen, make space, and the field. Can you be the place where peace shows up? Let's pray. I recognize that the infinite universe has all peace and all love at the core of its being. And only when I am out of balance do I see the world out of balance. And so I choose to be the place where peace shows up. I choose to be the place where love shows up. In the midst of war, can I be peace? In the midst of others saying harmful things, do I ever say harmful things to myself? Can I be where love shows up? Can I say loving things to myself and to those around me? Can I be a place of listening and openness and receptivity, knowing that there is a world that works for everyone that's trying to emerge through me? Can I be that place? And when I tune in and tap in, I know the answer is yes. Yes, it is already happening. Yes, it is already unfolding. Yes, the fulfillment of itself is already contained in the vision. Because each vision is filled with all of the provisions necessary for the vision to unfold. And so I recognize and know that it is unfolding right here and now, powerfully through me, powerfully through we, the collective, birthing a new idea that is better than I can even imagine. And so I settle into that truth, connecting with the core of my being today and tomorrow and the next day, knowing that that core is whole, perfect, and complete, that I move forward in that knowingness, moving forward in the love, moving forward in the joy, moving forward in the peace. And so I let this prayer go. I let it be, and so it is.
So it is.
Thank you.